I'm Dawn Kennedy, your host of the Profit Accelerator podcast. I'm an attorney, author, mentor, and CEO of a growing coffee company. Thanks for joining me on the show that looks at all aspects of business, from the mindset to the sales to the money left over at the end of the month, with tips and strategies to help you navigate this amazing ride called entrepreneurship. Thanks for making us part of your journey. Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Profit Accelerator podcast. We're talking about something very important that I don't think we consider necessarily when we start a business, but it's so important, especially as we're somewhat grown and successful in running the business, and that is succession planning. And we're going to cover all of the things we need to know and maybe some of the things we need to consider. And I brought Abby in to give us everything we need to make sure that this topic is something where you can walk away with either action sets or something to think about. So Abby, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me, Dawn. It's really terrific. Thank you.
All right. Can you tell everybody who you are and who you serve?
Sure. I have been in the insurance protection financial planning business for 30 years. And I do work with a lot of business owners, in particular on the Wall Street executive sort of business owners. There's some brick and mortar business owners. But I have a full resume of different kinds of clients, right? But today we're talking about business planning, and in an effort to understand how business owners think and feel about protecting their businesses, I think it's really important to examine 7 core planning pillars and how business owners really view each one of them. I think a lot of business owners, they're not ready or they're too busy to address all of the core pillars. And they're often conflicted or unsure of where to go for help. And, you know, I think the emphasis needs to be on education and awareness around planning areas that could, you know, leave a business exposed. And just, What I do is I reinforce that taking action is it just involving protecting whom and what matters the most, right? So the core pillars that I talk about with my business owners is, number one, keeping key employees loyal, right? Protecting the business from a death of an owner or a key employee. Knowing what the business is worth, I think also protecting the business from disability of an owner or their key employee. So there's death, disability, and retirement that needs to be discussed about that, surrounding that area. And I also think that estate planning comes into play too, because, you know, you have to be fair and equitable to the heirs that want to get involved into the business, and if you're distributing the business, you know, through the estate, and just transitioning the ownership and finding the a buyer for retirement, right? So these are all of the pillars that that we take a look at.
Yeah, so important. Again, you know, you get started, you're so excited, you're in it, and a couple of years in, and just our own story. We had a business and my husband had a near fatal accident. We lost the business. Well, we had the mentor group score. We had the SBA. We had all of that stuff. Nobody ever sat down and said, unemployment insurance doesn't protect the owner. Hey, disability insurance doesn't, you know. And so this discussion is so important because I know there are listeners out there that are going, oh, I didn't think about what would happen if, let's say, you know, I couldn't show up to work on a Tuesday because I got, you know, hit by a truck and ended up in the hospital, and how would things run or what would happen? So, you know, everything you talked about here, I think, are things that especially a little bit more mature business owners were not introduced to in the SBA and SCORE and the mentors. I just don't think it's talked about enough.
Mm. Yeah. I think protecting the business from disability and or death of an owner or a key employee, I think these are two concerns that are really on par with each other in terms of their importance, right? I think a majority of people have this on the top of their mind, but they don't know what to do or who to speak to. And the issues lie in the actual planning that, you know, that's being done or lack thereof. So I think business owners need to ask themselves important questions like, if you died 90 days ago, what would your business be worth today? You know, without a current funded and signed buy-sell agreement in place, they could be forced to liquidate the business. You know, a buy-sell agreement should be drafted to protect the business from the six D's. The six D is in David. D is in death. So death, disability, divorce, departure, default, and disqualification. And I think when it's properly executed, when a buy-sell agreement is properly executed, it can help ensure the continuity of the business when ownership, you know, needs to change hands for whatever reason. The buy-sell agreement is a legally binding agreement that requires one party to sell the other party, one party to sell and the other party to buy ownership interest in a business when any of those triggering events happen, right? So a buy-sell agreement really, it has to be properly funded and funding a buy-sell agreement, you could fund it with insurance products. Specifically, life insurance and disability buyout insurance is often the most effective method. Otherwise, the remaining owners could be forced to liquidate the business assets or take operating cash out of the business to purchase the ownership interest of who's departing, right? So it's really important to have those plans in place.
Right. And, you know, this is not just, I'm going to say, like, as you said, you work with Wall Street executives, like fintech firms and some larger companies. I mean, you're talking maybe a family business with 10 employees needs to have this in place.
Yeah, let's put it this way. The other question I ask my clients are, do you want to be partners with your partner's wife?
Right.
The answer is absolutely not. Or would you want to be partners with your partner's, you know, spouse or significant other when that significant other has nothing to do with your business? But that's what happens if there's no agreement in place. So and I also find that a lot of young businesses and businesses that are growing, they're really looking to retain talent and also keep talent. And so a lot of what they can do, and I know this is succession planning, but in order to keep and retain your key people, there's got to be some benefits that go along with this, right? There's all sorts of plans that you can put into place that are discriminatory towards your key employees, right? There's deferred compensation programs. There's executive carve-out programs like disability insurance. So you could offer your entire firm that exceeds their group plans because there's a certain level of income that they need to make in order to have their group plans be meaningful. But a lot of the higher earners don't fall into that category. So it is left to the business owners in order to keep these people and enhance their benefits. What I do a lot is they're called executive carve-out plans. An executive carve-out plans basically carve out a niche of people that you feel are very important to the growth of the business and the company. And you offer them products that they could not get on the outside at a deep discount with, you know, no underwriting and just so they're able to protect a bigger portion of their income, or they're able to get more life insurance for their family. So I think the benefit component of it is also very important. But in terms of having the business succeed and pass on to the next generation, that, you know, you really need to identify, you know, the goals and how you want to get out of the business when you retire. Who will the successors be, right? We need to choose who's going to take over for you and outline a plan to ensure that they're properly selected and prepared to do this. And then management, right? You know, we you have to define the steps needed to keep vital non-owner management in place so that they stay on board through the transition and beyond that as well. So those are really important. So determine when and how the transition will take place. That definitely needs to happen. Identify where the funds will come from, to buy you out, or whether it will be a lump sum, an installment sale. These are all, they're kind of weedy things, but these are things that we deal with our clients. And, you know, the key is to find a trusted advisor that understands your business, understands your why, understands your goals, and so that you can bring the proper stakeholders to the table.
Right. You know, and like you were saying, if you're going to keep people on during transition, maybe these other products that are given to those niche people, you know, will encourage them to stay and remain as a transition is going in. Unfortunately, sometimes business transitions happen in the blink of an eye, or the business goes under because it wasn't planned for. And, you know, this conversation is one that for people who haven't thought about it, or you know, they are, maybe they made a decision 10 years ago and things have changed, right? The number of children, or maybe they got divorced or remarried, and the property settlements, like, it can get messy over years if you haven't addressed this, at least on a routine basis. I mean, how often should we be checking these plans? How often do we need to, you know, make sure that with inflation and stuff, there is enough funding for the buyout, right? All of those things happen. Like you said, it's important to know the value of your business. How often do we even check that right now?
Yeah, it's interesting. I prefer, you know, it's kind of mandatory for me. I like to meet with my clients at minimum once a year, because if their situation hasn't changed, the tax laws change, interest rates change, markets change, presidents change, technology changes. There's a lot of things that go into this, and it's really important to just make sure you're on top of it. You know, there are different kinds of business owners too. There's a business owner that eats, breathes, and, you know, lives their business every day. They bring it home and it's a family business, et cetera. And then you've got business owners who just, you know, the second they get home, they tight-lip, they don't talk about their business. But it's extremely important to talk about, you know, how that business is going to pass, right? And to be fair and equitable regarding that distribution of assets, especially if it's going through the estate planning process, which you just touched upon, right? So estate planning, I have to tell you, a majority of business owners do believe it's a concern, yet only half of the people actually do what's called estate equalization strategy. So it happens when you start to divide up the ownership in the and a family business, and fair doesn't always mean equal, right? So there are a lot of business owners that say that they either plan to divide the ownership in the business equally among all children, regardless of their involvement, or will let the children figure it out themselves. But what does that mean? And how are the children involved? And who's working in the business day in and day out? And will they have a share in the decision making, the profits? What about the business with siblings? And, you know, someone may be off doing something else. And not to mention the potential fighting and drama that could create in the family. So it's really important to have maintain a family harmony and avoid that family conflict is really a goal that I try to preface when I work with my clients.
It's very important. So this agreement that you were saying would be triggered by one of the D's, right? The six D's. Can you put that in at any time? Does it need to be anticipated? Can somebody put this document in place and then just renew it regularly or check it? Or is this something where, you know, somebody is leaving the business and so we now need to get our ducks in a row? I mean, is this something that we should all be contemplating as business owners going, you know, into the next season? And we should sit down and have some kind of buy-sell agreement or succession plan or something in writing available if one of those D's occurs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, you know, think about it. Let's talk about one of those D's. If somebody gets into a car accident and they can't come to work, and their partner is expected to pick up all of those pieces that that their partner was supposed to do, there's this huge strain. You know, obviously the event is tragic.
Sure.
But it comes to a point where the partner that is not affected by a disability is taking on all of this, and it's not sustainable. I think, you know, exit planning steps, there are certain steps that need to be completed, right? You need to identify, I think you need to identify future income needs, right? You need to discuss the plan with family members. It's really interesting to me how people come home and they don't discuss any of this stuff with their family members. And then something happens to that you know, main stakeholder, and nobody knows what to do. Nobody knows what documents to go to. Nobody knows what happens. It's really tragic to watch that happen. And it's totally avoidable. You have to discuss your plan with internal stakeholders. You've got to build a very strong management team. You have to identify your successors, potential buyers, and also set a timeline for when you want to exit the business, right? That's really important, I think. And those are the steps that I try to complete with my clients when we go through that succession planning. And just being fair and equitable regarding the distribution of the assets from the owner's perspective, I think, is also really, really important.
Right. All right. So I'm listening to this episode and I'm like, you know, I really haven't thought about what would happen if one partner in the business wasn't able to come to work tomorrow. Maybe we should have this discussion. How would you start? I mean, like, do we lay it all out on paper? It's an interesting balance. There are people who are not going to necessarily want to talk about this because, oh, we don't have time or whatever. Then there are going to be people who are going to listen to this episode and they're going to be like, nope, this is now moved up priority. This is in the top three for the quarter. So how do we approach this? How do we get it started? And what are the first things we probably should be thinking about before reaching out to a consultant like yourself? Or, you know, reaching out to an attorney, or what do we do? I mean, there are going to be people listening who will be like, okay, then you got me. Now what?
What's that saying? If you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Right.
You know, I think the main question really is, how do you envision the business for the next? Do you plan to have your next generation come in? What would happen if you died? What would happen to your business? What would happen if you became sick or injured and could no longer work anymore? What would you do with your share of the business? How would your partners react to that? I mean, a lot of these are feeling questions. A lot of these are, and they're disturbing questions, because at the end of the day, you just have to keep asking those questions, whether or not they've considered this. And if the answer to most of those questions is no, then they need to speak to a financial planner.
Right.
They need to speak to an attorney. They need to speak to a CPA. And what I do is I kind of act like the quarterback, right? So I'm organizing, because people get advice from different people at different times. And a lot of that causes this lack of coordination. So what I do is I look at it from 30,000 feet and see when they did their wills and when they did, if and when they did their buy sells, and what kind of insurance do they have? What kind of benefit packages do they have? How, you know, how will you distribute the business equally among your children, regardless of the business involvement? You know, do you have life insurance? Do you have sufficient cash in the business? Do business assets, would they be liquidated? How would heirs borrow funds? Do they need to borrow funds? How would your personal assets be liquidated? So many of these questions, they don't know the answers to. Or if they do know the answer to, it's not good news.
So, right.
It's just not good. So I think transitioning ownership and finding a buyer upon, you know, your retirement is very important. It's very important to not only plan the start of your business, right? You people spend so much time and effort preparing, building, and creating, but they don't spend a lot of time protecting. Right. And so I think that is the piece that's missing, because people are so excited. They have their craft and they want to do this and they want to build this and they want to create this future for themselves and their families. But along with that excitement and passion for what you do in your craft comes a responsibility of how, what, who, and where your business is going to go should something happen to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I wish I would have been able to talk to you 10 years ago with the accident. We truly, anybody listening, you know, we had mentors. We were following the SBA stuff. We took all the courses and we learned marketing and sales and, you know, a little bit about cash flow, not as much as we needed, right? So we learned all of that mechanical stuff, but nobody ever sat us down and said, do you have key managers? I didn't even know what it was. So you are listening and, you know, this is the first time you've heard these terms. Please, 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 you know, get some more information and start to put a plan together. So, Abby, where can people find you, learn more about you and what you do, and, you know, where they can potentially work with you?
Sure. I can be found easily on LinkedIn. I can also be found on our company website, lennoxadvisors.com, LENOXADVISORS.com. You just type in my name in the search and I will show up there. You can contact me there. Or you can just email me at alarge@lennoxadvisors.com.
Perfect. So we're going to put all of that down inside the show notes. So if you are listening to us on the day that we launch or even 2 years later, you will be able to find the information and reach out. And, you know, if you need it, get some help with this and, you know, work with Abby, get yours ready, whoever it is, because I think that this topic is really one, like we were talking about, that's kind of neglected in the terms of just entrepreneuring in general.
Yeah. Just a little plug. Based on what you just said, you just reminded me, a lot of business owners are underestimating their financial reliance on the business post-retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you've got, if you've identified this problem, absolutely reach out to me. I'm here to help. I love holding people's hands throughout the whole thing. And I like teaching people. So, and it's really about making sure that they're protected and they can focus on what really matters, which is love, family, their business, and just, you know, really enjoying thriving in their craft.
Absolutely. I have nothing to add to that. So thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me, Dawn. It was terrific. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. So I will talk to y'all next time on the next episode of the Profit Accelerator Podcast. Take care.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Profit Accelerator Podcast. If you want some more information about me or free resources, please visit my updated website, DawnKKennedy.com. Follow me on social at DawnKKennedyXO on Instagram and on Facebook at DawnKKennedyMentor. I'll see you next time.